Unlike in the parable, I didn't enter into any agreement. It's like I walked up and he gave me a penny. The life that we now have is already a great gift. And really, to expect something more is to go beyond what we really have coming. I didn't deserve to live, and I certainly do deserve to die. I don't deserve to live forever. But if God, by his grace, shows me a way and teaches me a way that I might inherit eternal life through faith, by grace, that is God's prerogative. That's his choice. That's his decision. That's his way. Man has really nothing to say about it. And therefore, this word goes out and people laugh at it just like Christ. They laugh, they spit, they mock it, and they don't believe. And neither shall they inherit eternal life. I don't hate them because I think God has shut their eyes from the wisdom that they might receive these things and live forever. And unless he should give them mercy to open their eyes, that's what they're going to do. And they should be okay with that because they expect to die anyways. Of course, nobody will be. See, that's the thing, is that when you get there and all of a sudden you realize, wait a second, these guys are getting unfair treatment. They were no better than me, but they're inheriting eternal life. And you put them in this program, so to speak, of reform and faith, where they are created in Christ Jesus into this new creature, this new man. And they went through that, but they were no better than me. Why should they get more than I? Because that's the parable. They received more. They received the same pay in the parable, but they only worked an hour. So on an hourly rate, they definitely are getting a lot more. A lot more bang for their buck. And I spend a lot of time sometimes on these subjects. And I guess it's near to my heart, because as I've said in the past, belief does not come easily to me. And so my heart is somewhat sympathetic to those who do not believe. Because I know that faith comes by grace. That I have faith because God is gracious to me. Because I'm not a whit less intelligent than any man. I'm intelligent enough to stumble at the word. But God has given me the grace to believe in the word. And to me, that's amazing. And then I see other people and I realize, I know why they don't believe. I know why they don't believe. And I have a lot of compassion for that. And I can understand, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They don't know what they're doing. And I would wish that he would forgive them. That's not to say that that's what's going to happen. Verse 16. And the soldiers led him away into the hall called Praetorium. And they called together the whole band. And they clothed him with purple, and plaited a crown of thorns, and put it about his head, and began to salute him. Hail, King of the Jews! And they smote him on the head with a reed, and did spit on him, and bowing their knees, worshipped him. And when they had mocked him, they took off the purple from him, and put his own clothes on him, and led him out to crucify him. And they compelled one, Simon, a Cyrenian, who passed by, coming out of the country, the father of Alexander and Rufus, to bear his cross. And they bring him to the place Golgotha, which is being interpreted, the place of a skull. And they gave him to drink wine mingled with myrrh, but he received it not. That would be a kind of a sedative, you know, wine mingled with a poison that would possibly numb the pain. You know, the soldiers are not inhuman. Hey, you know, they're crucifying people left and right, and but still, as men, you feel like, you know, enough. Nobody likes to see too much agony. Well, some people do, though, right? But there are always some people among them who don't. Not everyone has a stomach for it. And they mocked, you know, there's always plenty of guys around to fulfill these kind of roles. Ha ha ha! So confident, so sure, so wrong. They spit on him, mocked him. I mean, the reading of it really suffices. How much more explanation do you need? These are the things he suffered. This is the ordeal he went through. This is the things he wanted to avoid. Can you realize the temptation of this for Christ? If I ask my Father, he shall send me 12 legions of angels. Christ could ask, but he wouldn't because of the Father's will. He could ask anything, believing he would receive it. But he knew it was not the Father's will. So he couldn't believe in asking for 12 legions of angels. He couldn't believe in asking to be delivered. If you understand what I'm saying, we can only ask in faith that which has been committed to our trust. And for Christ, that was this service, this ordeal he subjected himself to for the sake of us, we who believe on him, that through our faith in his blood, we might be saved. Through our faith in his death, his burial, his resurrection, that we might inherit eternal life. And because of this, that he suffered, there are many great and precious promises committed to us. Because this is the making of the covenant. You know, when they would sacrifice the bulls, they didn't suffer like this. They would just keep them calm and suddenly kill them. But Christ suffered in his death. He suffered a mental and physical torment, and which, by reason of his ability to free himself, or his knowledge that he could exercise power, all he had to do is violate the Father's will. That's torment. It's one thing to undergo suffering that you can't escape from. But imagine to undergo suffering you could escape from. At least that's what every Christian should believe. That Christ could have stopped it at any minute. To a skeptical mind, obviously that's not going to be true. But I have to believe he could have stopped it. He could have put an end to it. At any time, he could have said, enough, enough! All of you die! Verse 24. And when they had crucified him, they parted his garments, and casting lots upon them, what every man should take. And it was the third hour, and they crucified him. And the superscription of his accusation was written over, the King of the Jews. And with him they crucify two thieves, the one on his right hand, and the other on his left. And the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, he was numbered with the transgressors. It's Isaiah chapter 53. One of the most compelling prophecies concerning Christ. These things were written more than half a century before Christ was even born.